This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
And we want to hear from you following this victory, 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open, ready to discuss this Bears victory. Bears take down the Panthers 37-10. Behind an offensive explosion, really. Bears handling business. Caleb Williams, 20 for 29, 304 on the day, two touchdowns. DJ Moore getting busy. Cole Kmet, he saw some Roma Dunze. Six targets, five catches. Keenan Allen being the sure-handed guy that he is. And then defense, Kevin Byard getting the interception late in the game. Sacks, Javon Dexter getting to the quarterback twice. And he recorded one. It looks like one in the stat sheet. But two sacks, and he got a half each on those. One with Walker, right? Marcus Walker. And then the other one was with Kyler Gordon. That was on. So the defense is playing well. Team was just doing good, man. You're going to be hearing about it all day today. Again, it is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday here on 670 The Score, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. In about an hour, Dustin Rhodes is going to be taking over, getting you up-to-date information on everything that happened over the weekend in the NFL and some baseball, I would assume. Then after him, Mully and Hall jump on, and they have three great guests. Olin Krutz hangs out with the fellows at 7 a.m., DJ Moore, what a game. He's going to be on at 8. Brad Biggs jumps on after that at 9 a.m. to wrap up the guests for today on the morning show. Then, middays, Bernstein and Harris, the brand new duo. They'll have Anthony Herron at 11 and then Dan Wiederer at 12. Both Anthony and Dan were on Fox last night covering the Bears post game. So that was good. Then Spiegel and Holmes in your afternoon. You pick up the kids, you give them the phone so they can watch movies in the back, and then you put it on 670 to score so you can hear Kurt Warner gush over Caleb Williams. Right? He was talking last week with Spiegel and Holmes about the differences between Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. This week, you're going to hear more of the same. Jaden Daniels had himself a game, threw another interception. But they'll be talking about both of them. Then Jalen Johnson hangs out with the guys at 4 o'clock. Two pass deflections yesterday. No tackles because Andy Dalton didn't want anything to do with him. That's really what happened there. Mark Grody, who you've heard several times on the show today asking questions to people in the locker rooms, he'll be on at 5 o'clock to give you the report. And then Tuesday at noon, TJ Edwards, Chicago Bear linebacker, will join Bernstein and Harris to give the guys, you know, a look into the defense of the Chicago Bears, which was interesting. Defense came through today. Felt good. Felt good to see. Coach Eberflus was impressed. You forget sometimes during the game that Flus is dialing up these plays. Sometimes you forget. But let's hear it from, first, Kevin Byard, the guy that came up with a big interception today, and his thoughts on this victory.
Yeah, man, it's been long overdue. Excited the way the team played, man. I feel like we came out here to play with a lot of juice, a lot of energy. Just on that particular play, just locating the ball, tracking the ball in the air, not panicking. The guy ran a deep ball route, like an over route or some post or whatever it was. And just doing what I've always been doing in this league, man, tracking the ball and just making a play.
How much more gratifying is it to make a play that turns into points for the offense?
Yeah, man, I've been talking about just playing complimentary as a team, and I think we did that a lot today. Had three turnovers, should have four. JL, we definitely had discussion about that on the sideline. But, like you said, man, it's just a great team effort. Guys got sacks. turnovers, I mean, in all different varieties. The only one we was missing was a sack fumble. So, like I said, it's an exciting day. That's what it's supposed to look like, though. I mean, that's the standard that we play with, and that's how we want to play every single game.
Did you guys need a game like this as a whole, offense, Brody, defense, special teams?
Yeah, I mean, it builds confidence. This is still early in the season. We're definitely still, you know, in that process of trying to get better. But this is a great example of what the Chicago Bears should look like, and that should be the standard going forward, and that's the floor. And obviously, we've shown that today.
Home consistently, does that help too when you told the season?
Yeah, man, you want to win a division, you know, you want to be playing meaningful games in January and February. You got to protect your home field advantage. And that's what we've been doing. Obviously, they've been doing it even since I got here, but you know, this year to be 3-0 at home is huge for us.
Bears dropping, what was it, 17 straight at home or something like that? Some ridiculous number. And then they end up winning nine straight now. Is it nine?
Eight in a row. Yeah.
Thank you, Tyler.
Sorry. Which is crazy, too. Last year, they ended 5 in a row, and they only won 7 games.
Yeah.
This is a pretty awesome streak they got going on right now.
Yeah, and who was it? It was Dave Canales that was talking about it before the game, because they were asking about their success at Soldier Field, and he said, they won some games, they lost some games, they just happened to be at home.
Yes, yeah.
That's what Dave said.
Caleb Williams didn't turn the ball over. That was his other thing during the week, too, and what happened again, Gabe? They're 3-0 and Caleb Williams does not turn the football over.
Yeah, when you're winning the turnover battle, certainly you're going to win more games than you lose. Bears take down the Carolina Panthers 36-10 yesterday in convincing fashion. But the competition gets a little tougher next week. Sunday, they head on out to London facing the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tottenham Stadium. That's like, okay, I know I don't want to nerd out on soccer. Tottenham Stadium is one of the nicest stadiums in the world. Like, it is beautiful. It's brand new. It's beautiful. They've played there before. But as a Premier League fan, and, you know, you watch Harry Kane, Son, those two guys. I mean, Harry Kane's not on Tottenham anymore, but I'm saying when he was. Son playing. I mean, it's a great stadium, man. It's going to be good. But the Bears defense got to step up. Kevin Byard's going to be leaned on heavily to help out over the top. As mentioned, Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, the rookie, has really found a rhythm with Trevor Lawrence. Had a 65-yard bomb today. I mean, he's going to give him opportunities. So, Byard needs to be there over the top to make sure he's limiting the success of that passing game. But Tyrique Stevenson is going to be leaned on as well. And when you're talking about Gabe Davis and Christian Kirk, this is a team that feels comfortable and good about their wide receiver room. But they're going to be going up against one of the best secondaries in the league. Tyrique Stevenson certainly is going to have to contribute, and he talked to the press after the game. Take a listen.
Honestly, it was more like keep going. It was more like we don't stop now. We keep the ball rolling. They got 7 points. We weren't supposed to give up that. So 21-7, it could be 99-7. We still going to push hard to go out there and be the defense we know we are.
What was it like to have that lead?
Felt good, honestly, to know that the preparation and how we practice and how we gave the offense good look and how the offense gave us good looks this week just turned out and just turned out on the scoreboard for everybody to see.
What do you like about the way you got really never let them kind of get into this game?
Just knowing that we're the dominant defense. You know, when we came back to the sideline, we just constantly reminded each other that's not enough. That's not enough. They scored, which wasn't supposed to happen, but you know, shout out to them for scoring. But you know, we just kept coming back to the sideline, reminding us that we got to keep going, we got to keep pushing, we got to keep striving.
Tyrique, you guys are getting better every week. I know that's a positive sign for everybody. What does that mean for you?
It means good. Just with the offense getting better, the defense getting better, we just want to be one of them top teams in the league, and you know, that's what we're striving for. And just each week, we just getting 1% better.
Tyrique, what's the competition like in the secondary to get turnovers and takeaways?
Honestly, I can't be full disclosure on that, but it's pretty big. As far as like we even do it in practice, you know, we got a little group going. If you want to be in, you want to be in. But if you're in that group, we hold you to force fumbles, fumble recoveries, whatever you can do to create a turnover for the defense.
Eric, without seeing the film, what were you most impressed with by what you guys did in defense today? What meant the most to you?
Honestly, how we snapped around after that touchdown. You know, we could have came back to the sideline and pointed fingers. We could have came back to the sideline and hoorah, hoorah. But at the end of the day, we came back, reminded us who we are, and we went back there and locked in.
Was anything said or done after that, or did you just
We just kind of knew. It was just we just kind of knew. Just far as like telling each other like that ain't our standard. Tighten up, and that's what happened.
Tyrique, you're going sideline to sideline on the play before the turnover downs. I mean, can you walk us through kind of what the first pass breakup you had on their sidelines, and momentum it gave him on the other side?
The first pass breakup, honestly, they threw a curveball right at me, and I was happy that, you know, I was able to make the play. But then on the, it gave me confidence just to know that the ball was coming back towards me. We all know that they're not going to try Jalen most of the time on third down or fourth down. So it just gave me the confidence to know, like, the ball coming to me, make a play on it.
Tyrique Stevenson talking to the media right there. And he's certainly going to be leaned on this upcoming Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. As mentioned, Trevor Lawrence, 28 for 34, 371 against the Colts. Threw a couple touchdowns. I mean, again, and it's a team that faced stiff competition. So you can look at their 1-4 record, but unless you're watching those games, unless you're seeing who they're playing and how they got to those losses, then you cannot underestimate what the Jacksonville Jaguars have done so far this season. But the Bears just need to be consistent. Run that ball. Let DeAndre Swift do his thing, but continue to keep the opposing defenses off balance. And they've been doing that. Shane Walters has been doing a great job of that. I can't wait to hear from him this week, you know, because even he looks a little more comfortable in front of the podium than he did at the beginning of the season. Maybe he might have been a bit flustered or, you know, uncomfortable up there. Now, hey, Bears are winning, offense is rolling, and he's feeling good. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, hanging out with you guys. Got about 50 minutes left before I pass the baton over to Dustin Rhodes. I wanted to play some cuts from Coach Eberflus because, you know, the one thing I do appreciate about Flus is his consistency. I'm trying to think of myself as a player. If I were a player, I'd want to receive that same message week in and week out. And, you know, Tremaine Edmonds broke the team down after the game when Flus talked and addressed the team. And you know the coach is doing the right thing when the players are repeating their catchphrases. And Tremaine Edmonds, when he was breaking it down, all he kept talking about was complimentary football. And we know how often Coach Flus has used that phrase. Hey, we got to keep playing it. Got to keep building on this momentum, playing for each other. The other thing I love that Coach Flus says often is level up. Tyler, you know that's my jam. You know, I want Sierra playing in the background whenever I hear it. But the Bears have been doing just that. Shane Waldron, leveling up. Seahawks, Geno Smith, Bears, Caleb Williams, right? To level up. That's the hope. Right? I don't want to just lay that out there. Caleb Williams from week 1 to week 5, leveling up. This Bears defense, maybe not on the ground, but overall, turnovers, a pressure, tenacity, they have been leveling up week in and week out. And that's been cool to see. Got to get to the ball, got to create turnovers. Bears have been doing that. And Flus talked about, you know, recovering those fumbles and what's needed from the Bears defense in order to get to the ball.
Defensively, you know, the guys that had the sacks, you know, the 4-to-1 sack ratio against our opponent today was obviously big for us. That's a big thing for us. And I thought that was really good. And some of those, you know, we caught some takeaways, you know, in those critical moments, and guys have done a good job with that. I was really proud of the guys that recovered those fumbles, you know, because to get a recovered fumble, you have to be hustling the way we do it. It just doesn't show up, you know, because we expect everybody to punch at the ball. And then when the ball comes out, that person's hustling because he anticipated that ball was going to be there. And it doesn't happen, but only a couple times a game. So you have to be going, and I'm proud of the guys that way. So,
Coach Flus talking to the media, and you get it, right? We see it all the time. Even Caleb Williams had a fumble a couple of weeks ago or last week where Bears recovered it. They're fortunate enough to do that. But it's one thing to make someone fumble. It's another thing to recover that fumble because you have to be hawking that ball, not just the person that's causing the fumble. But the other defenders that are around it, you got to be close to the ball. You saw, I don't know if you guys were watching Dallas-Pittsburgh. I don't remember the name of the linebacker. They said it was like his first snap or something like that. Dives over the line at the goal line. Did you see that? And Romeo Dotto fumbled the ball. You got to do it. But you know what? They didn't recover the fumble. Why? Because Dak Prescott was there hawking the ball. So despite the fumble, you got to be there to get it. And that's going to be the big difference. If you got some thoughts, man, phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Would love to chat with you. You're waking up or you're about to go to bed. Have some thoughts on this Bears game. I've been asking people, you know, what has brought them joy from this game? Because it's hard to trash the Bears or try to come up with things that they did wrong. Right? You can go to the first series of the game where you pass on first down instead of giving DeAndre Swift the rock and it results in a 3-and-out. I mean, you could do that. But Shane Waldron did well for the rest of the game, calling a very well-balanced game. You could talk about the defense giving up a 38-yard run to Chuba Hubbard, something that they've done often this year. But they bounced back and shut it down. I mean, it's hard in a game like this to try to pinpoint things that you don't necessarily like. Now, you could call in like Phil. Was it Phil they called in? You can call in like Phil and just complain about the fact that the Bears beat a bad team.
A high school team.
High school team, he called it. That's boring. So I'm curious what brings you joy out of this one. 312-644-6767. Love to take your calls. But I'm going to play some more cuts from Fluce. We were talking about Waldron a second ago and how you could potentially complain about that. But ultimately, you know, he did call a balanced game. And Coach Eberflus liked how Waldron approached this one.
You know, I thought the offense did a good job of using the roster, you know, different guys in different spots. I think that's really, really good, really creative by Shane. We're up-tempo at times, really creative by Shane. Not necessarily snapping it fast, but being on the ball, IDing the defense. They obviously had some injuries over there at the linebacker position, so it's very hard to communicate when you have young people over there, new people in there communicating. So I thought that was good tactically by Shane. It was really good. In terms of injuries, 76 was ruled out. We'll see where he is. It's an ankle. I don't know that yet. Bill Murray stepped in, did a really nice job stepping in there from what I saw. Again, I got to look at the tape, but it looked like he was physical. He was sound in there in terms of fundamentals. Matt had to go to the other side, which he did a good job with that. Had to do that last week as well. And then the ejection, Matt Pryor got ejected, and he knows he can't do that. You know, obviously we got to keep our water temperature to a lukewarm to hot, but not boiling. And sometimes that happens in that game. It's a physical game, and sometimes that dial starts to get turned up, and you got to be able to have self-control and turn it down. And that's all it is. It's not that big of a deal, but he knows that he's got to be better in that particular moment.
I need to take that advice and give it to my kids. Hey, ladies, it's okay to be lukewarm to hot. Can't be boiling over.
Can I ask, did the water come off the duck's back?
Oh, man. It's water off a duck's back.
It's a valid question, right?
If it were to boil, then yes. No, that's what he's saying. You can boil, but then the water should roll off your back. A quote that Coach Eberflus. You have it? Go ahead.
You win a couple games and you're all that in a bag of chips, and then you lose a couple and you're the other thing. So it's water off a duck's back.
That is some hick stuff I heard in my life right there. It's great. But I love what he said about Shane Waldron. I do. I mean, listen, you can have your training camps, but until you see how guys perform in real time, as a new offensive coordinator, you are not certain of the skills that your offensive personnel has. But 4 or 5 games into the season, you then do. And now you know how to dial up things differently. And that is what's been impressive. Coach Fluce also talked about Caleb Williams' growth and learning on the job and how it's just getting better every week.
He knows that this is his first year, doing this. And he's gonna face a lot of different things, different looks, different defenses, different coverages. Knowing his guys, know what he can do and can't do, but still keep everything in there where he's good quarterbacking. And he's just learning and growing. And you can see that, during the course of these games that we've had, and he needs to continue to grow. He knows that. So he's just got to level up, keep leveling up. And every time we've challenged him, he's done that ever since the summer, learning the offense, coming back better, all the way through training camp. And now the season just getting better and better every single week. And really, that's just continuity, time on task, good communication with the offensive coaches, with everybody. And again, I told the guys there's just because of the score was the score today, there's a lot of things to learn from that tape. The performance is the performance. The performance is over. Now, what can we take from that to get better? Let's partner up with your leaders in your unit, okay, and also your coaches. To make sure that we're getting better on the things we need to get better at. And that's any case, win, lose, or draw.
And I love the fact that he preaches that week in and week out. Coach Eberflus talking to the media following the Bears' victory. Bears defeat the Panthers 36-10. Talked about consistency, talks about growth, but he talks about often getting back with the people that you can look at tape with. Coaches, leaders, captains. And it's funny because he mentioned how many captains are on the Chicago Bears and the fact that that's something that's never happened before.
Man, the leadership is strong. That's why I got 8 captains. I never thought I would ever do that, but man, those guys are strong. And there's a lot of other strong leaders, you know, in each unit and the special team. So they've been building their relationship, you know, building it tight so we know we're going to go through adversity during the season. But I'm happy for the guys, the way they've operated here. And again, every week's a challenge. And so we're going to enjoy this for 24 hours and then we're going to get to the next one.
And that's how quick you got to get over it. You get to enjoy it for 24 and you get to keep moving. But there are some things that are going to look a little different this week because the Bears will be traveling to London. What does that plan look like for Coach Eberflus? I'll play that audio for you on the other side, but would love to hear what you got to say about this Bears victory. 312-644-6767. Got a little bit over a half an hour, and I do not mind discussing the Chicago Bears with you. If you're in your car, let's chat. 312-644-6767. Your call's on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on The Score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Taking your calls and text messages right now, 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez right here with you on 670 The Score, hanging out till 5 o'clock. Dustin Rhodes comes on after that because, of course, we got you all day today. The Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. And what a day it's going to be. I mean, I'm going to talk a little bit about DJ Moore in a second. And I'm going to talk about, I mean, obviously he's target A for Caleb Williams, right? But is he going to end up having the best season of his career? We'll talk about that in just a second. But again, phone lines are open. Text lines are open. 312-644-6767. Dustin Rhodes comes on at 5. And then Mully and Haw, they got 3 guests that you just don't want to miss. Like if you're waking up right now and you still got your whole day to go, keep it right here. 670 The Score. Olin Kreutz is jumping on with the fellas at 7. DJ Moore, the man who I'm going to talk about in just a second, he'll be on at 8 o'clock with Mully and Haw. And then Brad Biggs is going to jump on at 9 right before the fellas get out of here and get to some crosstalk with Bernstein and Harris, who start at 10. Their first guest, Anthony Herron, at 11. Then Dan Weederer jumps on at noon to talk to Bernstein and Harris. There's a little bit of a gap before the next guest comes on, but that's because Spiegel and Holmes have 3 great ones for you. Kurt Warner, yes, Super Bowl winning Kurt Warner, jumps on at 3. Jalen Johnson comes on at 4 o'clock with Spiegel and Holmes, and then Mark Grody rounds out the cast at 5 o'clock to give you a great update with a lot of little nuggets. Make sure you are here for that one. Now, DJ Moore, we know that his arrival in Chicago transformed the Bears' offense. First, it was with Justin Fields. And now you're seeing him just operating at a high level with Caleb Williams. And he talked at the press conference post-game press conference. And they asked him, like, is this the best you've seen the offense operate? Yeah, but because we're having fun, I'm happy. Everybody's happy. We're winning. It's a lot different. But the game today, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's been consistent. Could he be on track to have a record-breaking year? I mean, of course, think about top-tier wide receivers for the Chicago Bears like Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, in the last couple of seasons, you know, in the last decade. And you're saying, well, DJ Moore certainly has propelled himself into that conversation. But when you go look at his stats, what he's done with Carolina, and specifically last year with the Bears, you wonder, can it be a record-breaking season for DJ Moore? First year in Carolina, 788 yards. Back in 2018. Then he goes on a 3-year streak of over 1,000 yards. 1,175, 1,193, 1,157. That's oddly close to each other for 3 straight years.
Very consistent.
Then his last year in Carolina, played all 17 games, 63 catches, 888 yards, 7 tutties. Comes to Chicago with Justin Fields, 96 catches, the most of his career. 1,364 yards, the most of his career. Averaging 80 yards a game, most of his career. And he had 8 touchdowns. Most of his, he had an amazing year last year. That's why a lot of people are like, oh, is he going to miss Justin Fields? Is he gonna, what's it going to look like? You got other weapons there. So far through 5 games, DJ Moore, 27 catches on 42 targets. Okay. 294 yards, 3 touchdowns. Obviously, 2 coming today, or yesterday, excuse me. But not on pace for the hundo. Okay, you multiply that out. Let's go to 15 first. This is how I do my math. You go to 15 first, so you multiply the 27 times 3, so you're at 79, right? 75 and 6.
81.
81 catches through 15.
Yeah.
And then you add a couple of other games on there. So if he's at a per catch.
92.
5 catches a game.
91, 92.
So you add 10 onto the 16 and 17, so 91 catches is what you can project them out to have. It's not his best season. It'd be his third best season if that were the case. Do you see him or anticipate him getting to 100 receptions this year? Do you think he's going to pick it up? This is what I was talking about. You rolled your eyes at me earlier, Tyler, when I said...
No, I was thinking. I wasn't rolling your eyes. I was thinking.
No. Not at this statement. When I said earlier, is DJ Moore not doing enough? Remember? Earlier in the show. And you, I looked back there. I saw you. And you're like, well, what do you mean he's doing everything? Not necessarily. He is the star player for this team. Listen, you got to find something deep to talk about. And in this instance, you're looking at DJ Moore and you're like, dude, you had a great game. But if you were to take away that game, 5 catches for 105 yards, is it a product of Caleb Williams spreading the ball around? Because he doesn't seem like a guy that's going to target someone 10 times and force feed them the ball. But it'd be interesting how DJ Moore feels about that. Because again, you're looking at the productivity of DJ Moore and what his impact is on this offense. And you're trying to figure out, like, okay, maybe the record-breaking year comes next year. No Keenan Allen next year. And you get a hundo, right? Because Caleb Williams is in his bag at that point.
Can I play devil's advocate again, DJ Moore? So I'm not saying this isn't his fault, but could it be a thing where maybe Shane Waldron wasn't expanding his particular routes?
No, because he had DK Metcalf. He had Tyler Lockett. He had Jaxon Smith-Njigba last year. He had receivers that are capable of being top 10 receivers in the league. Not Tyler Lockett, but DK Metcalf. And I think that's the part where you're like, he knows how to operate an offense with multiple receivers that are high quality. And so again, it's something to think about, right? Because you're talking about the development of Caleb Williams and you want him to be able to dump it off to DeAndre, to dump it off to Cole Kmet. But you want to see what the connection looks like between him and Roma Dunze. You want Keenan Allen to remain happy. But you also have to understand that DJ Moore is your 1A. So, again, what does that look like? 5 catches, 105, didn't necessarily need him a bunch today, but, you know, every game for DJ Moore this year, when you're looking at the game log, 8 targets game 1, 5 catches, 10 targets in games 2 and 3. They're really trying to force DJ with the ball, but only 10 targets in game 2, 19 yards, or excuse me, 53 yards. Game 3, 78 yards. So interesting. So do you think he's going to get to 100? Quick.
I'm going to say no. No, because we've already seen through the last 2 weeks, the offense has done a much better job of spreading the ball around. Therefore, the playbook will expand. These guys are not going to be running. Keenan Allen's run the same route about 50% of the times.
The speed out.
Yes. It's the play that I play, love though. On Madden, Gabe. Yeah, I love that play.
And Caleb Williams throws a great ball there.
He does.
I guess the biggest issue that I have, right, is that so many people were saying at the beginning of the season that there would be multiple 1,000-yard receivers for the Chicago Bears. And when you're looking at, you know, where it's trending, it just seems like a balanced offense.
Right now, yes.
Right now. And so that's the part that I'm trying to figure out. But DJ Moore, certainly that dude. He'll be on at 8 o'clock. Mullion Hall. Again, make sure you check him out. It's going to be a lot of great guests on today. We got you covered all day today on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. DJ Moore is on at 8. If you're looking for another Bear, Jalen Johnson will be on at 4. And then tomorrow, 12 o'clock, TJ Edwards hangs out with Bernstein and Harris. Let's go to the phones. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Ryan out in Tinley Park. Ryan, it's hard to come up with some negatives, but you got to think about what's bringing you joy today because it's a happy day in Chicago.
Yes, sir. It's good to hear from you guys on this Victory Monday. You know, a lot of football starts in the trenches, and you can see both on defensively and offensively, like our weakness in the offensive line was mainly the interior, and we saw some good communication skills from, you know, Coleman Shelton, Caleb Williams. You know, calling out the mics, calling out the hot guys, balls. And so on defense, we were able to get pressure up the middle with Andrew Billings, Javon Dexter. And, you know, when that happens, and we got a lot of studs in the back end too, it really reminds me of those Rams teams with Aaron Donald or those Buccaneers teams with Warren Sapp. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. When you look at this Bears defense, Ryan, right, they had 4 sacks today, had the interception. Do you look at this as being sustainable because of the caliber of players they have on the defensive side of the ball?
I do. I don't see us as frauds at all. A lot of us played like some Pro Bowlers out there. Now, we might not get the Pro Bowl vote because, you know, Chicago tends to get treated like a smaller market when it comes to sports. we played great on all cylinders. And I think the only weakness I could really point out was, I guess, like, ironically, Montez Sweat kind of struggled against Taylor Moton, their star right tackle. But then he left in the game. I'm talking about Moton. Yeah. You know, the Panthers, I mean, they are just falling apart as teams. But that's none of our business.
You could say it has nothing to do with us, but it kind of does because we still got their second round pick. But I hear you, though. You got to still go out and do it. Right, you saw guys like Javon Dexter continue to put pressure on the quarterback. DeMarcus Walker contributing on the other side. A lot of people curious what that was going to look like heading into the season with the addition of Darrell Taylor right before the season started. But the defense has been able to do that. And, you know, with this game coming up against the Jaguars, they're going to have to rely on that front four to put pressure on Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with, you know, you just come overseas. And you're dealing with that jet lag, and with the Jaguars, they've been here before. This is pretty much like their second home. So, talk about preparation.
Yeah, it's going to be big. Ryan, let me ask you this before I let you go. See the Bears' victory. You like what you saw yesterday. Do you now confidently say that the Bears are a playoff team?
You know what? I'm going to say it. Yeah, before the
say year. Say it with your chest, Ryan.
Yes. And we had a rusty start, but we're back on track.
I love it. Thanks for the call, Ryan. I appreciate it. And there will be a lot of people saying it with their chest today that the Bears are, in fact, a playoff team. And some people will remind you that the victory came against the Panthers, but I said it a million times. I've seen the Bears go into a weekend facing an opponent they are supposed to beat, and it rarely looks like the way it did yesterday. That's what brings me joy today. Caleb Williams having 300 yards makes me feel good, but I kind of expect that. I mean, Jesus, people were thinking all three receivers are going to have 1,000 yards and Cole Kmet.
Did you expect him to have 2 300-yard games in his first 5 starts?
I think everybody did. I think people were expecting him to throw 300. Felt like, oh, it's a matter of fact, right? It's guaranteed he's going to throw. But even in the first game, like, the betting lines had him over there. The over-under for the over-under for Caleb Williams yesterday for passing yards was 213. He He destroyed that. I was at the game yesterday. There were so many people that won money. I mean, of course, that happens when you win it at home, but so many people laid money down on that minus four. If you took all these props, DeAndre Swift's hit is over. DJ Moore hit is over. Like, some same game parlay. People made a lot of money yesterday on some same game parlays. That is for sure. But can you do it week in and week out? That's what makes you, that's what's got to make you feel good. That's what has to bring you joy today. And you guys are going to bring me some joy because I want to talk to you guys some more about this Bears victory. What stood out to you? What's next for this Bears team as they face the Jaguars? What are you expecting? A similar performance of what you saw yesterday? I want to know what you think. Are the Bears going to get this dub on Sunday in London? 8:30 kickoff time. 312-644-6767. Going to take a couple more phone calls before I get up out of here. So make sure you call in now, all right? It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
That's right. Got about 10 minutes left. Before I get up out of here, so you got any last-minute thoughts, phone lines are open. It's Gabe Ramirez here on the Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Got to be honest, man, there are some great guests today. People that I would want to hear from, right? Like, I mean, I work at the station, but best believe when I wake up, obviously I'm not working today, the rest of the day that is. So please believe when I get in my car, this is exactly who I want to hear from. And I hope you guys feel the very same way. Olin Kreutz, Bears legend. We'll be joining Mully and Haw at 7. DJ Moore, who had himself a game today, he's going to jump on with the fellas at 8 a.m. That is appointment radio. Set an alarm. Brad Biggs going to hang out with Mully and Haw at 9. Bernstein and Harris take over on middays, and they have Anthony Heron at 11, then Dan Wiederer at 12. Spiegel and Holmes, they have a great show in store for you today. 3 o'clock, Kurt Warner, the legendary quarterback, joins the fellas to talk about Caleb Williams and his progression. Jalen Johnson hangs out with Spiegel and Holmes at 4 o'clock to talk about Andy Dalton not wanting to throw the ball his way. Mark Grody hangs out at 5. It's going to be a great, great day on 670 The Score. Keep it right here. If you're going to sleep, just leave your radio on 670 The Score. So that way, when you come back in your car, ja, ahí mi mito, it's going to be right there for you. All right, let's go out to the phone lines. Let's take one more before I leave. Let's go to George. George, good to talk to you again, man. You feeling good on this Monday?
Most definitely, man. It was a great around win. You know, defense played the lead like they always do. And Caleb Williams had himself a hell of a game, going over 300 yards passing and a lot of the throws were some good throws, man. He threw a lot of nice passes in there, that right, perfect timing, ran the money, and, you know, they were getting them scores and touchdowns, and that's what we need to see, you know?
It was feeling great. George, let me ask you this. I mean, obviously you're confident in this Bears team after the win on Sunday, regardless of who it was against. But when you look at the rest of the division, the NFC North is the only division in football where every team is over 500. And where each team has a positive point differential. So it's a tough division. Can the Bears compete to take the crown, the top spot this year against teams like the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings?
Not going to be easy, but I think with this defense, I sure think they can, you know, because this defense, the way they're playing right now, they're going to keep them in the games, and pretty much all Caleb got to do is just, you know, distribute the ball and give them open wide receivers in good positions to get touchdowns. If we get a couple touchdowns, I think we compete with them and we can come up with some wins against them.
Yeah, we can compete with anybody if that ends up being the blueprint. George, thanks for the call. I mean, you're absolutely right. Defense continues to play at a high level, limiting teams, keeping them under 20. And Caleb Williams, you know, too much to ask to get 3 touchdowns? Is it too much? 1 DeAndre and 2 Calebs every week? And then just win 21-19 or 21-13, 21. You know what I mean?
Defense barely gets above 20 points allowed anyway. So
that's my point.
I don't think so.
You could be the Pittsburgh Steelers, but just with like a better offense. You know?
I like that.
Did you see what I did there?
I like that. I'm channeling my inner Kirk Cousins. You like that?
You like that? I do too.
I do like that.
I think this Bears team, I mean, the one thing, I'll tell you, and I'd hate to bring it up, but you got to. The Bears have been very fortunate when it comes to health. No wide receiver. I mean, you lost Keenan Allen for a little bit, but you're okay. You feel good about that. But your Cole Kmet's still there. Your starting running backs, Caleb, you know, the main players on your defense are there and healthy. And so you just hope that they can maintain that throughout the season because it is going to be an uphill battle. This very much feels like a college season where you're facing inferior talent to what you'll face at the tail end of the year. And as I mentioned, every team in the NFC North right now above 500. That's impressive. 5 games into the season, everybody's above 500. You got a team that's undefeated in the Vikings, scaring people. You beat the Jets the way you did. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't have a mild low ankle sprain. He just doesn't want to play anymore. I think he's tapped out. He's done. He's like, this ain't it. So I feel bad for all my Garrett Wilson fantasy football owners and my Breece Halls, because who's their backup quarterback?
I'm pretty sure it's Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, okay. They'll be all right. Tyrod Taylor is certainly capable.
Serviceable, for sure.
He's not Joe Flacco capable, but he can get the job done because he's better than Huntley. I bet you the Miami Dolphins wish they had Tyrod Taylor right now instead of Huntley. Which, by the way, Tua is almost done with those 4 games. It'll be interesting to see how they end up handling that. But the Bears are going to have their hands full. You know, it was a good game. Certainly a confidence builder. Not a confidence builder. It allows for believability. I think that's what that does. The team is confident. They have that in spades. But it's when you believe it. Oh, wow. We came out and we beat said team. Now we took care of the Panthers. Okay, this feels good. Beat the Rams. That was a good victory. The Rams had an opportunity to beat the Packers yesterday. On 2 drives, actually.
I really have noticed this with Matt Eberflus being the head coach. I mean, I know the record isn't great. There's obviously been the steady improvement. There seems to be the same sort of energy after the game, win or loss. Mm-hmm. Like, the one that stuck out to me was Caleb Williams saying, how do you feel that you're 3-2? We still have stuff to work on.
Yeah.
And this was by far his best game.
And the interesting thing about that is it's one thing to say it when you're below 500, right? We have things to work on. We got to get better. But I feel like his approach is working better in year 2 with more of his guys in place, right? People that he brought in, Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards, he was right there for that, right? Taquan Brisker, Kyler Gordon. I mean, this is his defense that he's putting together with the pieces and the skill sets that he wants.
Tyreek Stevenson.
Yeah. It's a great defense. And the defense is performing at a high level. And his scheme is adaptable enough to handle tougher competition. And that's the good thing about it. Got to get pressure up front, though, especially this weekend against Trevor Lawrence, because that's going to be a big test, regardless of what the record says. Beating the Jaguars, if the Bears go out and beat the Jaguars the way, it's going to be a tough game, but if they go out and beat the Jaguars the way they beat the Panthers, yo.
Turning my head even more with that kind of performance.
I mean, teams in the NFC North might be, whereas before they were like, oh, good, we play the Bears. Teams in the NFC North might not be so confident as this thing kicks off.
Oh, right, we play the Bears.
Yeah, exactly. Give me my music, because I'm about to be up out of here. I want to thank my guests for today. No, just like, nobody was coming. What happened to Chris Emmo? Chris Emmo used to call me overnight, because he'd be up late. He'd be my guest. I got to get him on the next time I'm on, which is in a couple of weeks, by the way. I won't be on next week because I'll be doing the marathon. But then a couple weeks after that, I'll jump back on here in late November, or early November, excuse me, to get a couple of these going. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Don't stop with me. It continues all day long. Dustin Rhodes coming up at 5 o'clock with the pregame to get you all squared away, leading you right into Mully and Hall. 2 big names you're not going to want to forget. Olin Krutz at 7, DJ Moore at 8. Then this afternoon, you don't want to miss Jalen Johnson. 4 p.m. with Spiegel and Holmes. Make sure that you are here for it. Again, it's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. All right, mi gente! That means my people. which after a Bears victory is everyone. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time, I'm going to take my ass to sleep and then wake up and enjoy this victory Monday. And I hope you do too. I am Gabe Ramirez. We got a full slate ready for you today, so make sure you keep it here to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.